Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Chris on IMTN Worldwide Radio, and this is Around the ATL. First show in a while. I'm very excited to be here today, obviously, on a Thursday afternoon. I almost forgot what day it is. Now, today, we're not going to be doing a call-in show. We have a very special show planned, so let's go ahead and get right into it. First and foremost, better late than never. Today, we have two very special guests on Around the ATL. They've both been regular guests on the show for a long period of time, over the last few years, actually. And I didn't want this year to end without having them appear. So if you're a Hawks fan especially, you want to make sure you turn in to watch. Make sure you share with other fans of Hawks basketball. So make sure you subscribe to the IMTN Worldwide Radio page on YouTube. You can listen to past episodes on Spotify, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, pretty much all the other platforms. Of course, follow on Facebook and Instagram pages for IMTN Worldwide Radio. And you can follow us on Twitter, IntellectATL and Jordan23ATL. Also, be sure and make sure I can pull this up real quick. Don't forget that today's show is brought to you by, let's see if I can find it. There it is, Price Design Club. Now, if you see the shirt, this is our first shirt ever for Around the ATL. I'm very happy about it. But Price Design Club actually originally created the first logo for Around the ATL and the current one, as well as other projects. So if you ever need to like professionally present your business to somebody, make sure you hit them up. Jamal Price is a great person. I've known him for many years now. I wouldn't send anybody to anybody else but him. So make sure you let him know I sent you, and Around the ATL is the one who sent you. That being said, let's go ahead and get started. So, he's not here yet, just yet, so I can't introduce him just yet. So let's go ahead and introduce our guest for today. So, as I mentioned earlier, we have two special guests today. Now, our first one, it was my very, very honor and privilege to have him on the show for the very first time a couple of years ago, because I really looked up to him in the broadcast industry. He is a veteran broadcaster. He's most noted for the 38 years of being the voice of the Atlanta Hawks. His passion capturing the action on the floor is unmatched, and you'll never, ever, ever be able to say he's not a fan of the team. Let's go ahead and bring in our guest for today, Mr. Steve Holmes.
Chris, great to see you.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Thank you. And I just saw our co-host come in, so I'm going to introduce him in a second. So how's your day going? Now, I know we got a brief time today, but I do want to kind of mention the people that are in Florida right now. I've seen some crazy videos down there I don't know if you know anybody in Florida, Steve.
No, we were just there, though. We were in Miami the other day, and all it did was rain for 2 days, so I can see they're having all those problems down there.
Yeah, it's a mess down there right now. I hit up a couple of people I knew personally just to make sure that they're okay. Let's see if we can go ahead and bring in Mr. Jordan Jackson, the co-host for the day. And, okay, not there. And, all right, so he's having a little technical difficulty there.
Internet's slow.
Yeah, well, he'll come in a second. So let's get started. There's a couple of questions that we were going to ask today. So I'll ask mine a little bit out of order, but that's fine. So,
well, he asked me what I was doing today mostly, and there's my scorecard for this
weekend.
Oh, boy.
Oh, wow.
Right now.
Oh, goodness. There it is.
Same one I've used for all 38 years.
Oh,
same
wow.
Same format.
Man, well, see, and again, you know, old school always works, Steve. There's no substitute for it.
There's the winner from the other night in Miami. There's the game-winning scorecard.
Wow, that is awesome. That's look, Steve, that's going to be in a museum one of these days, I swear. And actually, that's actually a good segue because I did want to go ahead and talk about the Miami game. So, you know, Jimmy Butler actually guaranteed a win, right? And
right.
And then the Hawks proceeded to have seven, you know, players in double figures. But, you know, I actually predicted the Hawks would actually win. I said they would win by 10 points.
You're the only one. All 17 ESPN analysts all picked.
Wasn't that something? I've already said I don't watch ESPN anymore, but that was kind of just startling right there. But the reason
right.
I predicted the Hawks would win by 10 was the following reasons. One, we were healthy. Weren't healthy last year at all. Two, our bench is much better than last year. And then three, I felt with Snyder being here, you know, with the reins at the helm, I felt that just on the adjustment side of what the other team would do and read and react would be better overall. And it kind of played out as such because every time Miami did try to come back, or at least when Kyle Lowry tried to come back, the Hawks had an answer. So, first of all, the Hawks won. They beat Miami. Were you surprised? Of course, I know you were excited, but were you surprised at all? And what stood out to you in regards to the win, and who stood out to you in particular in regards to the win?
Well, number one, I wouldn't say I was surprised by the win. I was surprised by how they won, you know, opening up that big lead. What was it, 24 points at one time? Miami did come back, as you would always expect in a, you know, NBA game. Everybody makes runs. They got it down to 5 and 6, and I thought the most impressive thing was that every time Miami made a run, you know, the Hawks came right back and did something good again and built it back up to 14 or 15.
Yeah.
And I think maybe in a previous time here, that you know, when it got down to 6, the Hawks might have folded and that might have been the end of it, but they didn't. And you mentioned Quinn Snyder. I think he's really instilled a lot of extra defense into this team. I think that the offense is certainly up 3 or 4 points since he got here 20 games ago. And you mentioned, you know, the improved bench. I think Jalen Johnson, since Quinn got here, is a totally different guy right now. He's a totally different kid. He's carrying himself with so much confidence now. Quinn has put the ball in his hands some. He brings the ball up sometimes. He plays defense. He's long. He's 6'8". I mean, and you can see some of the things he did the other night, a couple of offensive rebounds that he jammed home. It was really great to see.
Yeah.
And of course, Clint Capella, with all of those rebounds that he had, including 8 offensive rebounds. And John Collins, who had kind of a quiet night up until the end, you know, Johnny came up with 3 really big offensive rebounds down the stretch in that game. And the Hawks really, it was surprising to me, was the way they out-physical Miami.
Now that
which is, we're not really known for that, right?
Yeah.
So, but they were a lot more physical in that game. So that's why I'm looking forward to this series with the Celtics, because I don't think anybody knows the changes that have been made here over the last 20 games, and the guys that are playing well, like Onyeka Okongwu, he has really benefited too since Quinn came in. You know, he's averaging 10 points, almost by 8 rebounds, and you put him with Clint with his 12 and 11. It's pretty good center duo, and double O, you know, he can even shoot a 3 now. He's been working on that. He's made 4 of them now, so, you know, he's a threat there too.
Yeah, when it comes to just those things, the physicality, I mean, Trey, of course, mentioned that in his presser on the interview side of things. And you can see reins being taken off for, you know, a little bit, especially with JJ, you know. you can see it, you know, and that's where that vocal, being vocal in regards to certain things, instructing, I think, comes into play, because when a player is basically told, okay, look, I'm going to rely on you. Whatever little mistakes you might make here and there, I know what you can do over a period of time, you know, so that comes into play, I think, and definitely with oh, he's always been able to do that, but now I think he's really coming to his own for sure.
Yeah.
His confidence is sky high. We know he can play the defense, and now we know he can hit threes now, right? And but the block shot, yeah, he off the bench, he's like one of the league leaders in block shots. Like, that's not typical, right?
So no, I mean, his defense, if you remember earlier in the year, he would get in foul trouble all the time. Seemed like he was always had like three or four fouls had to come out of the game. And a couple of little adjustments that Quinn has made with him has changed all that. He doesn't get into foul trouble the way he did.
Yeah.
And they set up some defenses against Miami the other night that's kind of, I think the way Quinn explained it, the shoot-around was, you know, a transition defense. Instead of trying to chase everybody around, they kind of built what he called a wall. And then once they get stopped at the wall, in other words, you know, then you can go play your man.
Yeah.
So it made perfect sense to me.
Because,
you know, I'm not an X and O guy, but it made perfect sense to me, and apparently it worked.
And on the X and O side, it's one of those basic basketball things in regards to being able to adjust what one of our weaknesses is, and one of those is rotations, staying with your man off of a switch, you know, and over-helping. That game in Miami, we did not overhelp nowhere near what we have been doing. And that right there, all you got to do is look at the points in the paint was low. The second chance point was almost non-existent, and we didn't give up a lot of fast break points. And that right there gave you that cushion to where even if the Hawks had a little bit of a lull, the Heat could not really come all the way back because we were holding them back from all those other things that usually hurt us. It was a genius move. Jordan actually had mentioned in regards to John Collins playing Jimmy Butler like he was. Having a bigger guy on Jimmy limited what Jimmy usually would be doing against us. And it was, for me, even though John didn't have the biggest offensive game of all time, that, and again, Quinn rolling with what was happening in the game, not just changing, you know, players out just because, and just going with the flow a little bit more, really also put the Hawks up on the Heat pretty big too.
Well, I thought one of the things, too, that, you know, if you remember back in that third quarter when Miami started to make their run, they just kept going to the hero every time, you know, at Trey, pretty much.
Yeah.
And, you know, he called a quick timeout, Quinn did, and then he switched off and put DeJounte on him. And that pretty much stopped all that for Miami, because the first, I think, three or four baskets of the third quarter were Tyler Hero going right at Trey.
Yeah.
So that he made that adjustment, called a timeout, I think, with still over 10 minutes to go in the third quarter. He saw what was happening there and called that timeout. So,
the timeouts were perfect. Yeah, the timeouts were big, too. So it really kind of just showed, you know, even though he's trying to work out, you know, bringing in his own and doing what he needs to do in basically 20 games, that was going to be hard no matter what. I felt that it mattered. And because of that, we're going into this actual playoff series with the Boston Celtics now because we are out of the play-in, and gives us an opportunity to maybe do something. I know a lot of people have discounted the Hawks altogether again, but we're in. So, you know, there's always a chance. And, again, you never can tell.
I was watching one of the Boston talk shows that's on, you know, it's on the DirecTV. I can watch it. So I was watching that yesterday, and, I mean, we might as well be the Washington Generals as far as they're concerned. I mean, they just give us no respect at all. And, in fact, they went as far as to say, if the series goes six games, it's a failure for the Celtics.
I heard that. I was just like, whoa. I heard that. I heard that, Steve. I was just like, okay. All right. Here we go.
I think this is great for the Hawks. I think it's a great position to be in because you can go in there and surprise and shock the world. I mean, and the Celtics probably better than anybody know that over the last, you know, the Zaza series against Garnett, what was that, 2008? And then the last time the two teams had a series went seven games, too. So, you know, I think the Hawks are in a position where they can do something. And we all know that Trey is a big-time player. He likes it when the big lights go on,
exactly.
Like he did in New York a couple of years ago. And I swear, if he didn't step on that referee's foot,
we all know
the Hawks might have gone to the finals.
We were two games away, and we had all the momentum. I think all of us pretty much agreed.
Giannis was hurt. Giannis was hurt, and Trey steps on that, you know, Sean Wright's foot, and that messed up everything.
Exactly. Looks like we have Jordan, but we have him on the radio. Jordan, can you hear us, sir?
Yes, sir. I am able to hear you. There's a storm going on where I am in Atlanta right now. And so for anybody who knows Atlanta traffic, you know rain on the ground equals terrible traffic. And also, for some reason, I'm having a hard time joining you guys on video. So hopefully y'all are able to hear me on phone just fine.
No worries, no worries. Go ahead and say hey to Steve.
Steve, how's it going, sir?
Good, Jordan, good. Be careful of the traffic.
Yes, sir. Well, I'm
Jordan,
now, finally.
Jordan, I know you have a question that you wanted to ask Steve directly. Go ahead.
Yes, well, I'll be honest with you. Like I said, I'm joining in to where y'all were coming. I heard y'all were speaking over some of the things that happened with the coaching adjustments, as well as the Miami Heat game that just took place. I guess the next thing I wanted to go to, Steve, is what do you see upcoming is going to be the keys to the Hawks having a chance to win this Boston series? I know that, you know, that we've been up and down a little bit this season, but as you mentioned, we know Trey loves when the lights come on. And the one thing about it, the Hawks seem to actually rise to the task and play their best basketball against some of the best teams. So what do you think to be the key to taking at least one of these first two games in Boston?
Well, I think, Jordan, one of the things that I have been really, looking at, especially with the emergence of Jalen Johnson, is the size differential that the Hawks will have. The Celtics like to play Tatum and Brown together in the front court. And, you know, with John Collins and then you bring in Jalen, I think the height advantage is going to be big. And Clint, I think he can muscle Al. Al likes to stand in the corner and shoots those threes. He's very good at it. But as far as the muscle thing, which surprised everybody, I think, against Miami, that the Hawks were as physical as they were. But I think Jalen's going to be a real key in this. He's 6'8". We get a size advantage against those two guys. And, if we can get anything out of DeAndre, he had a rough game against Miami the other night. So if we can get what we usually get out of DeAndre Hunter to go along with John and then Jalen coming off the bench, I think they've got a big advantage up front. And the way Onyeka is playing too right now, that gives the Hawks an advantage there. And then you've got, of course, DeJounte playing the defense that he plays, and Trey stepping up on the offensive side. And then Bogey is healthy. You know, he wasn't healthy all last playoff series last year.
Yeah.
He's healthy to come in and knock down those three-pointers. And that's one of the things Quinn does too. I mean, he's an analytics guy, but not one of the, not like a nerd analytics guy. You know, he goes by the simple math of a three-pointer is more than a two-pointer. So if you have a good chance to shoot a three, shoot it. Because if you get three points and the other team keeps getting two, you're going to eventually win the game by math, So I really like the way he looks at that too. And the other thing I think about game one, the Celtics haven't really played in over a week. The game that we played against them on Sunday, the final regular season game, they didn't play anybody. We didn't play anybody. I mean, we left, five guys at home.
Yeah.
Didn't even make the trip to Boston. So their starting unit has not really played. And we have the advantage of playing in what was essentially a playoff game the other night against Miami. So I think we have a little edge there. And if there's a game to be stolen in Boston, it might be game one on Saturday afternoon.
Absolutely, like Steve. I totally agree.
They won game one in that series in the Eastern Finals. Where Trey went off from 40-something. And I think that's a good chance to catch a team is in that first game.
Game one puts all the momentum on the opposing team on the road, especially, and it puts all the pressure on the Celtics because, just like you said, there's going to be some matchups. And I think, Jordan, you said something about Brown having an injury of some sort too, right?
Yes, and I was just going to ask Steve about that. I don't know if you're hearing anything about Jaylen Brown, Steve, and where he's at. I know about a week or so ago, he apparently cut his hand watering his flowers. I'm not quite sure if I buy that. I don't know about you guys.
If you believe that one, Jordan, I've got some land I can sell you down there in the swamp land near Miami. He hurt his hand, but I guess we go with the watering the plant thing, and he broke the vase. I guess that's what happened. But, I mean, the last I saw on it was they were saying they were hopeful that he would be able to play in the first round of the playoffs. So, to me, that doesn't mean a sure thing. They've got him listed on their notes as the starter. They also have Al listed as the starter, too. I don't know. I don't know what the Rob Williams thing is either. If he's totally healthy, or they're planning on starting Al, but of course everything they put out on their notes and everything could be total lies too. How they operate up there.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Well, one thing about Boston I was going to say real quick as well is that the reason that the Boston Celtics do have the record that they do have is because of that bench. That bench wasn't just a bunch of just random people or anything. Those guys can play. It's just their minutes are just reduced because they do have that starting lineup. So if our bench can match their bench per intensity and everything else that we already know they can do, I think we can even them out in certain cases. So then it comes down to Tatum, of course, and who's going to lock them up. Is it going to be Hunter? Are you going to put Murray on him a little bit? And then, can the Hawks do what they did in Miami for a whole game, 48 minutes? Because at that point, yeah, we have as easy a chance as any to get a game one rather than trying to win game two after losing a game one. You never want to be in that situation going back home. So
one of the rebounding is going to be so big. And one of the real emphasis points for Quinn Snyder has been offensive rebounding. He wants guys to hang in there and offensive rebound and get those second chance points and keep the ball alive. And we certainly saw that against Miami the other night.
Yeah.
Time and time again, they kept getting these big offensive rebounds. And if you get enough chances at it, you're eventually going to score. You get two or three cracks at it on one possession, the ball's going to start to fall for you. And they didn't shoot threes very well the other night either. So if
they shot 41 threes, I think they shot 26%, something like that. So
that wasn't very good, but they were able to get them, and that's a lot more than they normally shoot in a game.
Yeah.
And I think that was part of the game plan, was go out there and tee it high and let it fly, as they say. And if you've got the shot, shoot it.
Yeah.
Because it's a league. They always say it's a miss or make league. And if you shoot 41 threes and you start making a bunch of them, all of a sudden, you're going to have a nice big lead in the game.
Yeah. And you can tell that it was a theme in regards to, like you said, the offensive rebounds as a result of they were going to be shooting a lot. So they had to do that. So you can tell that was part of the game plan as well, to say, look, guys, we have to hunker down. We got to stay with our man. Like I said, there was not a lot of people not on their man after switch. They were talking through switches. It was amazing. I was just like, everything is coming together all of a sudden in one game. Can we translate that into a series? Because if we can, again, scoring has never been the problem for the Hawks, has it?
No,
that's right.
The thing, too, is that you can really see that the guys are excited right now. I mean, they feel good. They feel confident. If you remember, I had on DeJounte after the game on the postgame show the other night, and like he said, everything's behind us now. Everything that happened all year, it's gone. This is a brand new thing. This is where we win the game against Miami, and here we go. Maybe this will be where the team comes together, and Quinn has got them playing so well, and I think the bench, it's only going to be an 8 or 9 man rotation for the playoffs, as it usually is with most teams. So I think they feel good about themselves. I think they feel confident going into this, and we know that Trey especially is not going to be afraid of anything. I mean, he's not shy about coming down the floor and shooting it from that just over the leprechaun there at TD Garden. I think it's going to be a fun series, and I think the Hawks, they're not getting any credit at all nationally, as is the usual case.
Except for Shaq.
As you mentioned last night on the broadcast, team 17 and 7.
In general, though, the national media is they're kind of poo-pooing us against the Celtics here. And the thing about it is, I mean, thank goodness, we're going to have the local radio broadcast, and for this first round series, we're going to get Bob and Deke, on TV.
I saw the press release.
They don't have to depend on the national, broadcasters, because you know, as good as they are on TNT and ESPN, you know, quite honestly, I mean, some of those guys could ride up on the elevator with Jalen Johnson and not know who he was.
Who he is, that
one. You know, and so I think that's the advantage of having the local guys on hand, you know, for the TV and the radio.
Exactly.
I told
Jordan, you have another question, sir?
Yes, just a quick comment, though. I totally agree, Steve. And as you pointed out on the broadcast last night, 17 of 17 ESPN, quote, expert, unquote, experts took the Miami Heat to win that game last night. Also, thank you for an excellent point.
You know, that's because none of the, out of the 17, probably 15 hadn't seen the Hawks play once all year.
absolutely right. And I thought you made an excellent point talking about the offensive.
Probably saw them when they were changing channels to get to the Laker game.
Absolutely. And I also thought you made an excellent point talking about the offensive rebound last night. Time after time after time, those guys got big offensive rebounds and had big baskets. I mean, all of the bigs. John Collins had a huge one in the fourth quarter. Clint had a huge one. A lot of huge offensive rebounds, and most of the time he passed his back out and they end up leading to baskets. Jalen Johnson had big offensive rebounds. Okongwu had big offensive rebounds. And even Sadiq Bey had a couple of great offensive rebounds and a couple of difficult makes afterwards. So I thought you were right on point there. And also, right. And also, I thought you were right on point talking about the center matchup with Al Horford as well.
Scored 4 points. I mean, but he pulled out all those rebounds, and that was terrific. I mean, it was such – and the game was – you know, Miami could have very easily ended up winning that game at the end when they got it down to 5 or 6 points. And like I said earlier, they kept coming back. The Hawks did, and I think that's one of the big differences I've seen, too, over the last, you know, third of the season is that games – you remember during the year, they had a lot of games. They'd have a 10-point lead or more and not
15-point lead. We lost 3 in a row like that after that – well, 2 in a row after the Houston game that we lost 15-point lead.
Right.
So it was an epidemic there.
So to hold leads is important, and, you know, they were able to do it, and they have been able to do it. And the other quick thing about Quinn being here for the last 20 games is I think it's been so important for him to actually see it up close and personal and not have to – you know, get here after the season and then start to, you know, acquaint himself with guys during the summer and summer league and then the, you know, training camp. He's been able to see it and have hands-on here for 20 games, plus now with these playoff games and the play-in game. So I think he's going to have a good handle on, you know, the personnel that he's got here and what he wants to do with the personnel moving forward and who he sees in projecting in key positions on the team. And I think it's been a real advantage that he's been here for as long as he has now.
Exactly. Go ahead,
Jordan. Yes, sir, absolutely. And that kind of leads into my question. And you always seem to do this, Steve. But what are some of the major coaching differences, and you've hit on some of them already, that you've seen with the change from Nate McMillan to Quinn Snyder? And I won't ask you to answer this question, but I'll make the comment. I'm not sure if we are able to weather that storm under the previous coaching staff that we weathered last night?
Well, I don't know. I mean, it's a good question, Jordan, but I will say, I mean, I love Nate. You know, Nate McMillan is an NBA guy. I mean, he's old school. He knows what he's doing. I mean, he knows the game as well as anybody out there right now after being in it for the year I started doing the Hawks broadcast, 85-86 was his rookie year. So, you know, we kind of were in the whole thing together. But don't count Nate short. I just think it's been a different voice here with Quinn and a few little nuances that have changed. I think Quinn is probably a little more hands-on. I think Nate, you know, would allow his assistant coaches to do a little bit more. But he likes to be hands-on, Quinn does. And I think that's been one of the things that's kind of gotten the guys, I think they're kind of juiced up by it, you know, because – the old saying is if you hear one voice long enough, you're not going to be listening all the time. But, here, you know, Quinn's here as a new voice coming in. He's got a few new ideas. He's got the guys laughing, joking, talking during practice and on defense. And I think they really are enjoying playing basketball right now.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. Absolutely. What, anything else you're seeing, like, from a schematic standpoint, Steve?
Well, we were just talking about the defensive side. You know, on transition defense, Quinn has come up with a few things where instead of chasing guys around, you build a wall and then stop the run a little bit. And then once you get them slowed down, you can go into guarding your own man. I think that's one of the big defensive things. I've also on offense seen, you know, some new wrinkles on things like inbound plays and stuff like that that, you know, you don't really see often in a game, but you're ready for something. So I think that that's been, you know, one of the smaller things that's happened that has really helped.
One of the biggest things I've noticed is just cutting to the basket. You know, Trae Young is the best passer in the game. I've always been saying that he's trying to get 15 assists a night. So if you cut to the basket, you move without the ball, he's going to find you inevitably if you're always moving around. There's 24 seconds in the shot clock.
I think some of that is also coming from our old buddy Kyle Korver, who was very good at that. You know, perpetual motion for the open shot. And I think, you know, he's helped out some at practice too. And although I'll say this, that Cliff, you know, was 0 for 4 the other night from the free throw line. But I think Kyle has really helped him with his free throw shooting. You know, he went from like 52 or 53% most of the year. He's up to 60 right now.
Yeah.
Going into that game, although he did, you know, he missed the 4 in Miami. But look at Toronto in last night's game. They missed 18 free throws, and it cost them the game.
I thought that game was over, Steve, and I flipped back, and I was like, they blew that lead? How? And I saw the free throw. So.
Yeah, they missed 18 free throws. I mean, and on the other hand, you know, the Lakers were able to survive theirs because I think the free throws in the fourth quarter of that game were 17-3 in favor of the Lakers.
Oh, boy.
Surprise.
Wait a minute, Steve. Hold up.
And I heard you mention the Trae stepping on the official's foot earlier. I was a little disappointed that you called him by Sean Wright, though, because on the radio broadcast, you seem to tend to use my name, which is Sean
Wrong.
Wrong.
Yes, sir. It's funny.
One more thing I wanted to add that I've seen from a strategy standpoint is I've seen, like, more dribble handoffs and things of that nature. And last night in particular, it seemed like when they were doubling Trae, he was making it a point to make the pass and then to run to a spot, and they were getting him the ball back on the move, and that was allowing him to attack and really get to his floater. So that was just one other thing I saw schematically that I wanted to mention as well. Chris, go ahead, sir.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's always a good thing when you can see the ball move. I mean, that's, you know, that's a good thing. And Quinn, one of the things about that is, you know, Quinn says, you know, move the ball around, get as many passes as you can to get a good shot. But if after one pass you think you have a good shot, take it. That's what he said. Mm-hmm. Don't hesitate. He's telling all, you know, he tells all these guys, don't hesitate. I mean, we'd like to see 3 or 4 passes in a layup, but if we can't get that on a one pass, if you're open, shoot it. So I think the guys feel good about having the green light on everything like that.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely.
Well, Steve, I got another question for you, and it's kind of a big deal. Now, you probably know, and as all of us did, we saw that little article that kind of came out right before our game against the Heat. And basically, synopsis of it is that, well, the Hawks would be open to, you know, trading everybody, including Mr. Trae Young, right? And despite it being debunked initially right off the bat from the Hawks organization, and then even on the TNT broadcast, they said there's no merit to it, things of that nature, you still had a lot of people in Atlanta sports media continue to kind of push that article as if it was a fact. And even some double down on it, despite watching the Hawks beat Miami, and they still kept on with it. And, you know, over the last few years, I've noticed, you know, there are more and more Atlanta sports talk, you know, people and journalists and community and things of that nature that they really never have anything positive to say, even when things are positive. So, Steve, why do you think there is so much, at least perceived animosity towards the Atlanta Hawks and, unfortunately, specifically Trae Young?
Well, I think, you know, there's so much to do with it. That article, it was in The Athletic earlier this year, came out, and people started to buzz about that. And there are so many media people now, you know, around the country that are all looking forward to, you know, stories and trying to break stories. But I think they come up with stuff, and, you know, the old saying, you throw it up against the wall, something's going to stick, you know. And I think that's part of it. People sometimes get carried away when they read things like that on Twitter and all of, you know, these are all things that, I mean, are still fairly new over the last, what, 10 years or so.
Yeah.
Before that, there weren't these things. You know, you had your local newspaper, you had maybe the USA Today, or, you know, maybe one or two national shows. Now you've got Sirius XM with shows all day, and the NBA radio has shows all day. NBA TV is running things all the time. ESPN has got their own analysts. Kendrick Perkins coming out and saying he had the Celtics on upset alert because Miami could beat them. Well, Miami's not going to win. The Hawks are playing the Celtics.
Yeah.
So he has to change his tune on that. So that's, to me, that's why there's so much of that goes on that you really can't take it, you know. And then the players, I think, ignore it, too. They're pretty good about it. They get out and do what they're supposed to do. They play the game. They let all that noise stuff happen. But I really do think that a lot of it is just overblown. And there's really only – there's three people that know what's going to be happening. And one is Tony Ressler. The other two are Landry Fields and Kyle Korver.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're not running to Woj or, you know, Shams or any of those guys.
But you just mentioned one of them. At a certain point, isn't there some kind of journalistic responsibility to not just say things for the sake of saying them without some kind of backup to say, is this correct or not? Because a lot of times, unfortunately, in the world that we live in now, you kind of alluded to it, technology and everything, speed of light, people take stuff with a grain of salt because they saw it. They speaked it, right?
Right.
And so at a certain point, it's a matter of, after the fact that you know is not correct, to not actually go back and at least do a retraction at least.
To me, there's no real credibility anymore in any of that stuff. You know, it's like if you go on and say something and it's wrong, like you say, nobody goes back and says, oh, gee, I made a mistake with that. They just go on to the next thing that's wrong.
Yeah.
And just act like it's true. And just, you know, they pull their way right through it. So that's why I think fans have to be careful about what they read and what they jump on. And, you know, the Twitter followers start repeating things that some guys say that don't really know anything. And that's why I just... you know, you have to just let it all shake out and let the people that are running the basketball run the basketball. And I can include myself as a fan, fans have to be fans, you know, just let it happen. Be happy with what's happening on the floor. You know, like if you're winning a game and you've got 3 minutes left in the game, you know you're going to win. Don't start worrying about what's going to go wrong the next game until this game's over. You know what
I mean? Well, that's why I mentioned it because that part of it, the human nature part, you know, rest in peace, Michael Jackson, is that you unfortunately poison part of the fan base that was already, some of them kind of teetering on the edge of being, you know, all the way or, you know, whatever it is. Maybe they don't go to a lot of games and they're just about to start going, or they haven't watched any games since the 60-win season, for instance, or whatever, right?
Right.
So I look at it just from that standpoint, to just for people who have that kind of power to be at least cautious a little bit. You know, because like I said, I pride myself on doing a lot of research before I put anything out there, you know.
Right.
And if I make a mistake, I fix it.
But they don't all do that, now, especially those national guys. I mean, they are in such a battle with each other to try to get things out first. Like if you follow those guys on Twitter and have alerts on your phone, they're almost simultaneous on every story. You know, one might beat the other by 10 seconds or the other one might, you know, but they're always right there. So, you know, it's competition, and there's some big money for those guys too. Those national guys now are making, you know, I think Woj, I read something that he's got a $10 million contract. You know, that's a little bit different. I bet, you know, Jeffrey Denberg is sitting up there somewhere watching at his typewriter now, you know, after passing away 20 years ago, saying that, you know, he should have been 20 years later, you know, with that kind of money floating around.
That's crazy. Jordan, go ahead, sir.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. And I guess the disappointing thing for me about the whole article situation, the article was written by a guy named Kevin O'Clickbait. I think that's what his name is. And
here we go.
The thing is, he framed an article for March the 3rd like it was new news or something. And article really said, and as you mentioned it, Steve, was that Tony Russell was saying, look, I let my basketball people handle that. And so they said, well, you're not saying for sure that you won't trade. And he says, look, what I'm telling you is, I won't be involved in it, whatever my basketball people want to do. But instead, it shows you a lot of people just what they do is they just read headlines. Because like as Chris said, I did some writing for Fansided, ATLAllDay.com, as well as Bulldog Sports Illustrated. And I always never put anything out there without researching. But what happened was guys read that headline that was framed like new news, and the most disappointing part of it for me was Kendrick Perkins, as well as Kyle Kuzma on Twitter, both made statements like, why would the Hawks put something out like this right before a play-in game? Well, the Hawks didn't put anything out. And all you had to really do was to read the article and click on the article, and the article told you the source was a March 3rd article. You know what I mean? So that was the most disappointing thing for me, fellas.
I haven't seen it, but I bet Kendrick Perkins has not mentioned once that he picked Miami to upset the Celtics since that the Hawks game. I bet it's like he pretends it never happened.
I agree. I would take that same bet, Steve.
They pretend something didn't happen, even if it did.
I suppose, you know, no evil, see no evil, right? So, I don't know. I want to at least bring it up just because, again, we're in the playoffs officially now, guys, and we should be hype about this. And here's this little dark cloud. It's like, you know, from the Peanut Gang, you know, Pigpen, you know, just floating around, you know, and it's like, can we just for once just kind of go into this with hope of some sort and excitement to say we have a chance. Again, you can't win an NBA championship without being in the playoffs. The Hawks have now been in the playoffs a few years in a row again now, right? So we have a shot. So
like the Georgia Lottery, you can't expect to win if you don't buy a ticket.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
There's no way. It's impossible, right? You don't just snap your fingers and you win. So definitely appreciate you answering that for us, Steve. George, you got anything left, sir?
I just think Steve has, as always, answered everything beautifully, and I agree. You know, these guys, they put stuff out, and they don't do, you know, any retractions. But my final thing about that, I'll just say, is that Ringer has seemed to be, has had it out for Trae Young since before he came into the league. They named him as the most likely guy in his particular draft to be a bust, and it seems to me that they're continuously trying to validate their bad pre-draft take rather than admitting they're wrong. So, you know, that's my final comment about that particular situation.
Well, we see from that draft, we see, you know, who's in the playoffs this year and who's not in the playoffs.
Thank you, Steve.
Right?
I didn't want to go there. I knew it. Appreciate that, Steve.
All right, well, you know, the other guy can enjoy watching on TV and eat Cheetos all night if he wants to.
Oh, boy.
He's in Cancun somewhere. He's watching from Cancun somewhere, Steve.
Oh, man. Well, Steve, again, sir, we appreciate you so much just taking the time out of your busy schedule. I know you're going to be getting prepared to go out to the other side of the world there. And, again, this is a period in time that we've been waiting for to say we really do have an opportunity here. We have a window. We haven't had that in a legit long time. And so here we are now, and that's why I'm excited about it.
I will just say, finally, no matter what happens in this series against the Celtics, I mean, the future looks pretty bright right now.
This is just a ramp-up. Yeah.
We got Quinn Snyder signed, you know, to a 4 or 5 year contract. He knows what he's doing. He's going to have a say, I think, in the personnel department, you know, with Landry and Kyle. And, he knows what he wants, and he's a deep thinker. I mean, and he presents that to the players that way. So, like I say, no matter what happens in these next 4, 5, 6, 7 games, you know, hopefully we'll advance. If we don't, though, it's not, you know, don't start jumping out of windows. It's not the end of the world because it's just we're just on the first step of this building thing right now. So I think there's a lot of reason for optimism and be happy about what's coming forward for this team in the future.
Exactly. I'm excited. I'm going to try to get to a game next week. I don't know yet. I'm trying. I'm going to see what happens. But if anything, I'll definitely
be here.
Well, 929 for your broadcast as well as Bob at the same time.
Too.
Top
of 118.
I got you.
Absolutely. And before you go, Steve, I just want to say, man, you know, I've been rolling with you all year long, man. I love Bob and Nick too, man, but it's just something about your broadcast that I'm just, you know, forever captivated by. I'm a almost every game listener to you, and sometimes I even, you know, if I'm even am at home, I'll have it on the radio and be watching on TV. Shh, don't, y'all don't tell Bob that, though. I just want to say, man, you've been just a thorough enjoyment to listen to.
You never know what I'm going to say next, so that's probably part of it.
That's the reason. Steve, make sure you let me know what's on the show, man.
Every time I see Mike Conti pull out the Tums or something, I know I've said something.
You have to know, Conti. You have to know. Like I said, that's what I was going to say at the very beginning. I forgot is that part of the broadcast is part of being a fan. You know, and when we had Jerome Jurinovich on last year, we talked about that, how he's opening Braves Live and Hawks Live. That's part of the environment. That's part of the experience all the way through. Is being able to either watch Bob and Neek or to listen to you and Conti doing his thing. That's part of it. And we've really been privileged to have you with the organization all this time. So just wanted to say thank you again.
I appreciate it. I hope to be there for a long time to come. So.
Exactly. Another 40 years to go.
Yes, sir.
Steve, let Trey know that he can come on the show anytime. Just give him a shout out. Just let him know.
We'll tell him. I'll let him know.
All right. All right, Steve.
Contact your people.
Well, I appreciate it. Thank you, Steve. Appreciate that.
Right.
Take care, man. Have a safe flight to Boston.
All right. Thank you. See y'all. Talk to you soon.
That was the man, the myth and the legend, 38 years broadcasting Atlanta Hawks basketball. That was Steve Homan, Real Voice of the Hawk on Twitter. Make sure you follow him there.
That's
Jordan,
the best in the business, Shawty. The best in the business, Shawty. The realest man in radio right there, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm telling you, man. So what we're going to do, because I think I scheduled this for an hour even, just in case we have some free time. So 646-652-4479. I don't think the people at work are going to mind me doing a little bit extra, because, yes, I am on the clock, people. But anyway... we talked about a couple of different things, coaching change, the Miami Heat series, animosity in regards to Atlanta sports, especially the Hawks and things of that nature. We had a real great discussion, but if there's anything that any of you fans might want to call in and talk about, of course, the Celtics series, call in real quick, 646-652-4479. I'll take a caller or two if I can. We got about 12 minutes left. Jordan, go ahead, sir, if you have any thoughts.
Well, sir, you know, my thoughts on Steve Holmes is just great as usual, man. I mean, he gives it to you like it is, straight no chaser, not afraid to speak what's on his mind. Now, I had unintended consequences by bringing up that pre-draft Ringer article. It led to Steve, you know, keeping it real as he always does, and let the stutter that a certain gentleman from that draft is watching from the couch. So, you know, that was a major highlight for me, sir.
I was going to say it. He beat me to it this time. I'm just saying. You know, I was ready for it, but he beat me to it this time.
Yeah, he tends to do that, man. He always seems to lead you right into the next question you're asking, man. You know, it's like he segues it for you. You can tell he's maybe done this a time or two. I don't know for sure. But yeah, man, always a joy to talk to the great Steve. I hope to better catch a playoff game here this upcoming week and get a chance to actually, you know, talk with Steve before the game as I did that last game we attended, the Minnesota game. I'm sure a lot of our Twitter listeners out there saw me post a picture of Steve, you know. And the good thing about it, Steve, he responds.
The picture is on the new promo, not the intro I did at the last minute last night at 4 o'clock in the morning. So
nice.
I added that on there. So, you know, I tried to do a couple of other things, but eventually I just passed out. So I couldn't do but so much on the last minute basis. So but everything worked, though, pretty good. As far as Boston goes, I think we have a chance. I mean, it'd be stupid to say we don't have a chance in the world. Number one, we do have Trae Young on our team. And as I mentioned at the very beginning of the show, we are healthy. All the people who were injured last year are healthy now, right? We have extra people that we didn't have last year. We have Murray as our shooting guard. You know, JJ is going to play. Right. So, you know, you have all these aspects that were different from last year to this year. And again, at the end of the day, Quinn Snyder has a history of being able to make some choices within the game, within a quarter, within a minute that can change things. And I think that's going to make a huge difference. And right now, The guys are listening. They're paying attention. You can see the implementation. Again, even when Steve mentioned about the offensive rebounds and everything, you could tell that that was being force-fed all throughout the game, whether it be timeouts, whether it be halftime. You could see that it did not stop. And in the past, it did. And that's that makes a difference when you're trying to win a game that means everything. That was one and done right there, right?
Absolutely.
Well, technically it's not, but you know what I mean. So I think we should be excited about the possibility of what this series can bring. Also, robbery part of it with the Celtics over the last few years as far as playoff series. Yeah, we didn't really play the Celtics that well in the regular season this year, but that's over with now. And the Celtics are the defending Eastern Conference champions. They have all the pressure to get back there again. You know what I'm saying? And if all of a sudden they could run into a buzzsaw called the Atlanta Hawks, hey, you just never know. And again, you win game one, you definitely never know at that point. All right, now it's pouring down here, Jordan, so hopefully electricity don't go out. But go ahead, sir.
Yes, sir. And I do agree. The Hawks do have a shot here. I think Jaylen Brown, his health is going to be a big key. If he's not able to go at all or if he's not able to make shots, it's going to be a lot harder for the Hawks, for the Celtics to score with the Hawks because we know the Hawks can score the ball. As Steve mentioned, I think the center matchup is going to be key. You know, with either big that's in there, whether it's Al Horford or Robert Williams against Capella and Okongwu, who dominates the boards is going to be key. Al Horford making outside shots is going to be key because I don't think he's going to be able to do much inside against the Hawks bigs. And so, yeah, man, I think we're actually the healthier of the two teams. And so I certainly think we have a shot. The other two keys that I want to mention is, one, we need DeAndre Hunter to be at his best defensively. We need him to slow Jason Tatum down. You know, you can't let him get 30 points on, you know, 18 shots. You got to make him take 30 shots to get 30 points.
Yeah.
That's going to be a key. And the other key is going to be setting the tone of physicality early, like they did against Miami, and letting Marcus Smart know that they're not going to put up with his mess. Because you know he's going to come out. He's going to try to antagonize Trey.
I don't know who, but somebody needs to do it.
Right. I mean, you know he's going to come out, and he's going to try to throw his martial arts moves out there, and he's going to do his pro wrestling moves that he does. You know what I mean? So it's going to be imperative that the Hawks show him early that that's not going to be tolerated and that we're going to be just as physical as he wants to be. So if they're able to do those things, control the boards, slow down Tatum and make him inefficient, and match Boston's physicality, we could be looking at an upset here, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. Somebody needs to put the Walls of Jericho or Angle Slam on Smart. I don't know who, but somebody needs to do it. That being said, folks, we're going to go ahead and try to wrap this up. I do appreciate everybody who either got to watch it live. I know this was the middle of the day, a work day for some people, but I did try to get it out long in ahead of time enough for people to, you know, kind of square out the hour or whatnot. But, of course, watch it after the fact. You know, if you subscribe to the IMTN Worldwide Radio page, that's easy to do. But don't forget, later on tonight, we have another interview with another legend in Hawks broadcasting, and that's going to be Bob Raffin. But let's definitely, again, shout out to Steve Holman. Again, he's been doing this for such a long time. Again, he is a fan. He said it again. That's why one of the biggest things about being a fan of the Atlanta Hawks is he is part of it. He is vested. He has a vested interest in what this team does. And he notices all this foolery that be going out there in the city of Atlanta. Just letting you know, all right? So it's one of those deals where be a fan. Be a positive fan. You can be critical about stuff, but stop hating. That does nobody any good. And again, when you hear something or read something and stuff, check it out a little bit before you share it and make it fact. Because there's some people who, again, they're very, very, very casual, and now they're just going to be looking at stuff and be like, oh, that must be true, right? So let's try to kind of be careful about that within the city of Atlanta. If you're in Atlanta especially, kind of be careful about that. Just saying. Let's be excited about this series coming up. Let's see if we can get back to the Eastern Conference Finals. Again, all bets are off at that point. I believe the Hawks could win again. You know what I'm saying? We're full healthy right now. We're a dangerous team as far as I'm concerned. So I'm excited. Jordan, any final words real quick?
Yeah, just to say, man, you know, once again, outstanding interview by Steve Holman. You know, so knowledgeable, so personable. You know, when you stop by to see him, he's just as nice as can be. You know, when you post a picture or shout him out on Twitter, he responds to the people, so he is a man of the people. And so everybody, let's rally behind these Hawks. You know, let's get excited, like you say. We know we've had some ups and downs this season, but as Steve mentioned, the comments of DeJounte, all of that's behind us now. We are in the dance. And so, you know, you can't win if you ain't in, like both of you guys said as well. And so let's rally behind this team. Let's support this team. And if you can, and I know, you know, people's finances are different, but if you can, make it a point to try to come out to State Farm Arena for at least one of these two playoff games. Let's pack this house out with Hawks fans. Let's limit the number of green jerseys that are in the building. And, you know, if you see somebody with a green jersey, don't start a fight or anything like that, but boo them mercilessly. I mean, let them know that that is not welcome here in Atlanta. And I think if we do that, we support our guys, we can help prepare the Hawks to win both of these games in Atlanta. And hopefully the series comes back to Atlanta 1-1, and we can leave Atlanta up 3-1.
Exactly. That being said, folks, we're going to go and get out of here. Make sure you are subscribed to the IMTN Worldwide Radio YouTube channel. Make sure you can follow on Instagram, IMTN Worldwide Radio, Instagram, and on Facebook. You can follow us on Twitter, Intellect ATL, and Jordan23 ATL. Make sure you do that, please, please, please. And be looking forward to a IMTN Worldwide Radio website in the near future as well. That being said, thanks again for Steve Holman being on the show, one of the greatest guests that we've had over the years, and can't wait to see Bob Rasmussen later on tonight. Make sure y'all don't miss that show. Make sure you catch it. That being said, y'all take care, and let's go Hawks.
Go Hawks. Thank you.